With that announcement from the chair of the planning committee, I can now announce that the operations committee is now called to order. I'm Jake McKenzie, representing Sonoma County and the Nine Cities, chair of this committee. Do we have a quorum? We have a quorum. That's grand. We do have a consent calendar. I would love to have a motion. There's a motion, Sparing, a second, Haggerty. All those in favor of approving the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
So done. We come to agenda item number 3, Freeway Service Patrol Towing Services. This is an item for committee approval. It does not move forward to the full commission. And before we have a very specific presentation in this item, Melanie Crotty is going to introduce the subject. So this will be the staff report.
Good morning, Commissioners. Happy New Year. I thought I'd just briefly introduce the item. The as you may recall, in July of 2014, staff brought forward to the Operations Committee some preliminary recommendations for the next round of service patrol contracts for the FSP program. We did talk a little bit about the methodology there and gave some preliminary recommendations. There was some questions and feedback about that, and so today staff was going to provide more information about the actual process that we went through to came up with these recommendations. And then staff will be providing some recommendations on the as a result of the procurement. I would add, I think this is kind of an interesting companion piece to the presentation that we just heard from the Planning Committee. I think it's a good example of there was a very macroscopic look at what we can do with data today. I think this presentation now before you is a good example of how staff is taking data, that we have much more data available to help us understand, do monitoring of the service and actual evaluation to come up with some pretty good recommendations and to really, I think, you know, to make sure the point that we are providing what we believe is the most cost-effective service to best provide a reliable travel for commuters in the Bay Area, and that we are making these changes with that in mind. Lastly, I just wanted to also mention that we did have an opportunity to brief a number of commissioners individually on service changes that they had within their jurisdiction, and we did incorporate their feedback as agreed into these final recommendations. So now I'll be turning it over to first Rob Rich will be providing an overview of our methodology, and Anika Jensen will then be providing the staff recommendation.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Robert Rich with the Freeway Service Patrol. As the Operations Director said, there were Commissioner questions on specific recommendations for the July information item. We followed up with those for the procurement, and I'm here today to talk to you about our general planning methodology. The Freeway Service Patrol has, as you may know, 35 beats, and half are up for bid every 2 years. At this point, it is customary for us to adjust service. This is an ongoing and incremental change to update to existing performance and traffic patterns. That service planning process starts with a macro-level analysis. This is our aggregate reports, budget informations, and the external benefit-cost ratios provided to us by Caltrans. This year, we realized that our program remains cost-effective, although not as cost-effective as we would hope, but that there are very specific beats and service areas up for bid that were less than cost-effective, and that the assist activity in the region is generally declining. We've determined that this is an overarching trend that actually is occurring statewide, and we're in dialogue with Caltrans researchers about that. So we identify those low-performing beats and a potential spending savings target to try to increase the overall cost-effectiveness of our congestion reduction. And then with those tentative trade-offs identified and a draft service plan, we began a very detailed analysis, which I'm going to walk through in the preceding slides, several different data sets. I should say, however, that this was an iterative process and that we included commissioner feedback and after the July operations meeting into our recommendations. The macro-level analysis, this is really an enhanced look at the normal performance tracking that we do, looking both at the rate at which our trucks are encountering incidents on the freeway, as well as external cost-benefit analysis And we never use one specific metric. We're always looking at multi-year trends and data averages as we assess this. The key point, I think, to keep in mind is that we are looking for both assist activity to make sure that our trucks are being usefully applied in a particular area, as well as congestion. It really requires both. So as to our detailed analysis, it starts with a time-of-day analysis. Using charts like these helps us determine the optimal service schedule for a particular area. What we're looking for is that the congestion, which is the line charts that, the lines in the chart that you see, matches the service that we're putting out there, as well as the assists, which are charted with the bars. And we really want to see that both are occurring, because otherwise we're not getting that congestion reduction benefit. We also map in the real location every single assist for the last 2 years. The darker areas in that image to the right correspond with areas of greater assist activity. This helps us draw beat boundaries and determine where are the deployment patterns. We validate this data with external CHP information so that we know that our assist information corresponds with what the California Highway Patrol is saying about incidents. We then go back and look at more detailed traffic information, see it in its spatial context, try to determine exactly when and where bottlenecks are in the system. And this, again, if there is overlapping assists, can provide us a good indication of where we need to be concentrating our service. The recommendations which were brought before you in July are repeated here. There were four different types of strategies we applied. And this just shows two. The reduction of trucks in a particular area without eliminating service, as well as replacing tows with more cost-effective pickup trucks. And these strategies were applied widely throughout the region. We also did remove service from some areas where we deemed it was not reducing congestion, and eliminated Sunday service, which we, in most speeds, as we found it to be generally cost ineffective. And I recognize that it is not pleasant to be reducing service, particularly as the economy heats up, but we believe that these strategies are going to save us a considerable amount of money. The next round in 2 years, a number of core beats will be up, and this will allow us to preserve and protect our service at precisely those bottlenecks in the system that are most important. And that is what we have an eye towards, the big picture, and the congestion concentrations. So I'll be happy to take your questions at this time. My colleague Anika Jesse will be able to speak to the item in front of you, the 16 contracts, and the procurement process.
Okay, thanks for that information. Commissioner Liccardo, I believe you had a question.
I appreciate this. Really how we've been doing things for many years, that is signing beats, and it's certainly a reasonable approach. But the risk of betraying my ignorance here, which I've never had a problem doing, why wouldn't we simply have a contractual arrangement where we would pay by the service, that is, by the trip, as opposed to a fixed contract?
We're looking to the contractors do want some stability, and we're looking to we do adjust our service with other funding sources as is needed within that 4 year period, but we're looking to capture the long range trends. And it is a by in the contract. My colleague can speak to it. It is a hourly rate that we pay them, and so we do actually pay only for service provided. This is just the plan going forward.
So then when we see the amounts indicated, I'm trying to get the right page. I think it was on the second page of the report. Sorry, pull that up. I saw a list of contractors, approximately 15 contractors, and there are amounts there. Is that a maximum?
Yes.
All right. So do we typically hit those caps?
I would say generally not, because we build any contingency. If we are, however, because they are longer contracts, we can amend them as needed. And I don't think that has been a very frequent problem.
Okay. Thank you.
There are questions at this time. Let's have the second part of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Anika Jesse with the Freeway Service Patrol Program. Today I'll be seeking your approval of 16 new tow contracts for 16 existing FSP beats. I'll be briefly summarizing my memo, which is in front of you, so please feel free to follow along if you'd like. In July, the former project manager, Stephanie Powell, informed the commission of the upcoming request for qualifications and bid invitation. Based on the recommendations from commissioners that came out of that July meeting, we released our revised RFQBI to over 300 TOW vendors and held a bidders conference here at MTC. The RFQBI is a three-step qualifications-based low-bid process in which bidders must pass each step in order to move on to the next. In the first step of the three-step process, we reviewed 19 proposals to ensure the meeting of minimum requirements, which include at least 3 years of FSP or CHP rotational TOW experience and an office within 20 minutes of the beat. In reviewing these bids, one bidder did not meet the minimum years of experience, and two bidders chose to withdraw their bids. The remaining bidders were eligible to move on. In the second step, CHP and MTC SAFE conducted vehicle and facility inspections to ensure the bidders' management practices were up to FSP standards. One bidder was disqualified in this step. The remaining 15 bidders were allowed to move on to the third step, which was the submittal of the price proposal. At the close of step three, we received price bids from all of the remaining bidders. In November, the FSP partners, which consists of Caltrans, CHP, and, of course, MTC SAFE, met to review each price bid. As a group, the partners recommend that 14 of the 16 contracts be awarded to the lowest bidder, while the remaining two contracts be awarded to the second lowest bidder for the following reason. Myers Towing, the lowest bidder for three of the beats, exceeded the beat limitation that was set up by the RFQBI to ensure that contractors aren't overextended. While contractors are selected based on the lowest bid, there are restrictions in the RFQBI on how many beats a contractor can hold. Due to these restrictions, Myers Towing is only allowed one beat. Therefore, we recommend awarding them that one beat and awarding the other two beats to the second lowest bidders. The FSP partners recommended awarding these beats in the combination that yielded the lowest overall price. In conclusion, staff recommends that the committee authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into four-year contracts with the TOW contractors as listed in your memo for a total amount not to exceed approximately $15.5 million in a four-year period. Thank you, and I'd be happy to take any questions you might have at this time.
Commissioner Haggerty, please.
Thank you. Just so I understand, so in the beat through I-580 in the Tri-Valley, you're recommending that that go to a regular pickup truck. Is that true?
Yes, I believe so. Rob can speak more specifically about the actual service since he was more involved in the planning. But
in some cases, when there are three trucks to a beat commissioner, we consulted with CHP and believe that it is appropriate to have one of them be a pickup truck as it is less expensive. And a lot of what
I heard that in the report. I just want to make sure that in that particular beat, we're recommending that we just go with a pickup truck.
Yes, for that the B-22.
B-22, and then the elimination through Castro Valley, correct?
Yes, there is one truck eliminated in B-27.
So my question is, what will the pickup trucks have the ability to do? And what I mean by that is, through I-580 right now, through the Tri-Valley, there's many areas in which there's no shoulders due to the fact that the construction and K-rails and such. And I'm trying to ascertain in my own mind if somebody breaks down in lane two, will the truck have the ability, like maybe a CHP car, which I don't even know if they do anymore, but they still have the big guards, do they come up and can they actually push that car out of the way? Or will the truck just show up and throw some lights on, creating more traffic, and then calling for a tow truck?
Our pickup trucks are equipped with tow bumpers, and then if
the
they're
push ones or tow,
they are with push bumpers.
Okay.
And there are going to be two pickup trucks on that two tow trucks in that particular beat, so the one won't be far away.
Okay.
If it's needed.
Okay, but they will push a car out of the way if necessary.
Oh yes, if necessary to get them out of the lane, they will. They're trained to do that.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Campos.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So just a couple of clarification points. So are all of the recommended contractors that we're currently doing business with? Is that?
Yes, there are no new contractors in this round. They're all current FSP contractors.
And how many of these contractors are women-owned, minority-owned businesses?
I believe 16 out of the 19 are women-owned or minority.
Do you know what the breakdown is?
Sorry, I just wrote that down. Pull that up. Oh, 9 of the 16 beats are going to minority or women-owned businesses.
Okay. What's the breakdown in terms of how many are women-owned, how many are minority-owned?
I'm not sure the exact breakdown at the moment, but I can get back to you on that if you'd like.
I think that would
like
be helpful
sure,
to
definitely.
Have. How did you decide what the qualifications would be in terms of years of practice or experience, if you will?
So there's a minimum of 3 years of FSP or CHP rotational tow experience, and that can be substituted for 1 year of private tow experience. So, for instance, you could have 1 year of private tow experience and 2 years of FSP or CHP rotational tow, or just 3 years of CHP or FSP.
Can you talk a little bit about the outreach that you did in terms of letting all of the companies that could, you know, bid for something like this know
sure,
about
this? We sent information letting people know that there was a procurement coming up to over, I believe, 300 tow vendors across the entire region. And we also held a bidders conference here at MTC for interested contractors to attend.
Have you contacted chambers of commerce, you know, minority chambers of commerce, for instance?
That might have been something we did in the past. We did not do that this procurement round, but it's something we can definitely consider doing in the future.
Again, I would look for more outreach in terms of making sure that we know that we let as many vendors, including vendors that may not typically know that they're able to compete for these kinds of contracts with the MTC, know that that's possible, and that I think that requires going outside the typical box that we go to. So I would expect that, and I would simply ask, and I think we've asked this before with these contracts as they come forward, to get this kind of information in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? We have a recommendation in front of this committee. I'd entertain a motion to approve the recommendation. Haggerty moves, Spearing seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the recommendation say aye.
Aye.
Recommendation is passed. Would like to thank you for the very detailed and informative report. And we will move on to the last item on the agenda of this committee, which is public comment. I have one card from Clarence Fisher. Mr. Fisher, please.
Hi, for the record, my name is Clarence Fisher. I bring up, since you sometimes deal with the various things of Clipper contracts, and I know there's something out there for the future of Clipper, I want to make sure that commissioners hear a few quick items that to think about in the future. Number one, allow partial balance transfers between cards that, like, family members might use. Currently, it's only all or nothing. Number two, allow for e-cash to be used for purchase of monthly passes. Currently, if you have an e-cash balance, you cannot use a partial transfer to buy a monthly pass. Number three, allow expansion of Clipper to go to places like the Capital Corridor. And lastly, to expand in the future to potentially allow Clipper to be used on the high-speed rail system. Lastly, as now Measure BB has passed, to consider in your future funding allocations for operators such as AC Transit to restore services where they had to cut, like, from half-hour to hourly services, to funding services back to half hours, at least in the commute hours. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher, for these suggestions. no further cards. I adjourn this committee meeting until February the 13th, Lucky Friday 2015. Thank you very much.